You were just listening to music of Serbian composer Aleksandar Vrbelov, and that was the composition, The Spell 3. In our performance, our violinist was my guest, Anna Mirosavljevic, and that was from an Innova compact disc titled Anna, Reflections. I see the title just basically uses her first name, and we talked a little bit about that just a little while ago. You were just listening to the composition titled Untitled by my guest Anna Mirosavljevic, as performed by the composer. And like so many of your things, or like a number of your things, this can be presented with a dancer. Tell us, you know, if one was listening to the solo violin version, which of course you heard the Serbian folk element in it, how the different maybe type of, in your impression and your or your feeling, the different type of maybe communication it would give to a listener if they were watching it danced while being performed.
Well, this is one of my first works, and I it was written for a collaboration at the Time Center. It was my multimedia concert, but this particular piece I collaborate again with Takehiro Ueyama, and the piece is rooted in obviously folk Serbian folk traditions, but it also represent it was meant as a kind of a prayer or chant. So it's also a little bit inspired by the Buddhism and Buddhist temple. And the spiritualism. So, but I didn't want to name the piece a prayer or a chant. I rather wanted to leave it open.
Untitled.
That's why I decided to call it Untitled. So, so it was kind of, in terms of collaboration with the dance, it was kind of an experiment too. I think the piece is actually very independent as a solo work, but it does give it completely different dimension,
atmosphere
and dimension on stage with a dancer. And I really, that's one of the things that I really enjoy, is collaborating with working in for film and working in theater on stage, collaborating with dance, because somehow it I don't want to say it completes the music, because we don't want to feel like, oh, the music needs something else to be completed. But it does certainly give a different dimension and different angle. And to see how the choreographer or dancer feels your music and response, which is not always like on the beat necessarily, which is so interesting. So it was a kind of fun experience. It was a fun project. And it could always be done one way or the other. And actually, one of my recent commissions came from, thanks to this piece, the renowned artist, architect, and writer from Italy, Corrado Levi, heard some of my work, and he really liked Untitled. So he asked me to, he commissioned me to write a piece for him, for solo cello, that is inspired, or has a similar kind of atmosphere as an Untitled. So...
That'll be great.
That's great.
That's going to be great. Sure. Well, now let's go, Anna, because we have a very exciting thing we're going to share with our audience, something that you literally just did. And in fact, this is one of your recent projects and performances, and I'm specifically thinking right now about Luci in the Sky, which, if I read my notes correctly, was premiered just on May 5th.
Exactly. You're correct.
Tell us a bit about what we're getting ready to hear now. This is quite an unusual piece.
Yes. I would like to say a little history of this whole collaboration and whole process, whole project. Last summer of 2011, I was approached by visual artist Vittoria Chierici. She's Italian-born visual artist who splits her time between New York City and Italy. And she came to me with the idea of this project. She got a footage that was discarded by Italian scientists. They're sky watchers who were observing the skies in Italy and Norway. So they were doing like scientific research, and this footage basically otherwise would be discarded. So it was given to her, like, a lot of different frames of the, you know, that's different elements in the sky, both objects and the living creatures, and she told me that she wanted to commission me to compose and perform music for this project that shaped up to be an art film. And then we brought Yuko Takebe, a wonderful Japanese filmmaker, to the picture, and she basically created the film. But the interesting thing about this whole process was that, as you know, it wasn't really a commercial way of shooting the film. She didn't go on set and like shoot the film and then it was edited later. It was rather, the film was rather made from existing frames that for sometimes we had only two or four, and mm-hmm. she made a whole motion picture out of it. So basically, I was creating a music. Yuko created a film, and the concept was by Vittoria Chierici. And Vittoria's idea was that I would write a music, and actually she often likes to say the film wouldn't exist without music. So the music was almost like a narrative, an essential component of this film, because otherwise, although beautiful, the film would be very abstract. She wanted me to also leave a space for a variation and improvisation, mm-hmm. which actually I wanted to mention, Marvin, that yeah, improvisation sure. is a very important component of my work. Right. So even in structured works that I compose, I often leave a space
for
my own or someone's improvisation. So sure. that's how I created yeah. Lucci as well. And then I, for the most of the, so I had a tape part, obviously electronic part, and actually I pre-recorded all the sounds for it, except the electric bass sound. I had my colleague, I obviously wrote all the lines, but I asked my colleague, Jamaladin Takuma, a wonderful musician who I actually met during my residency at McDowell Colony this past March 2012, who he recorded that for me. And then live instruments I'm using, I'm performing are Viper, and in one part is a solo traditional violin. And by the way, I wanted to mention that most of this work I composed during my residency at McDowell Colony, which was wonderful experience. And then we premiered this project in Italy, as you mentioned, May 5th. It was a world premiere during my concert. And then the US premiere, I had on May 18th at the Tribeca New Music Festival at the Cell.
So, wow, this is new. With a capital N.
It is very new, and actually it is kind of interesting. Now we are going to hear an excerpt from the music without
the last
seeing the
half
film.
Of it, the second half of it.
Something like that. Yeah. And maybe would you like me to tell a little story about that?
I was going to ask you about that. Sure.
It is kind of very, very touching and important to me to say this. So I like to say this also before live performances. By the way, I also want to mention that this will also we'll do the studio recording when the music will be the film will be presented to the film festivals, so the music will be recorded as an original as a soundtrack as
wonderful.
Well. So this original
wonderful.
Score. Anyway, about the part that we are going to hear, this is the second. I mean, this is the from the middle to the end, and we're starting with the chimes, the sound of what I like to call chimes, and then after that we are going to hear a slow section, and that is the one section actually that I'm performing on my traditional violin, and I call that section Lullaby for Taro. Basically, somewhere like earlier this year, in early January, while I was writing this piece and while we were working on this project, and actually we actually decided that one of the main characters of the film will be the owl, the bird, who comes during the film many times, and in the end is sort of reflects the spirit that sets free later in the film, and music is of course emphasizing that. Early in January this year, one of my three kitties, Taro, passed away, and it was such a heartbreaking.
How old?
Well, he just turned 13 last December, but his actually kidneys were failing, and it happened so quickly.
That's what happened.
Yeah, both me and my boyfriend, we were like, Take, we are both like heartbroken, basically. And it's one of these things that is like bitter, not to say sweet, but it is like. It came as an inspiration, partially as an inspiration during this project, during creating this music. And it became so important for me to write this, to incorporate this lullaby into the music for this film. And actually, it was very well working with the film. After the lullaby section, it goes into the faster section and liberates it at the end. So.
Well, we're going to hear this music now. We hear the final, approximately half, of Lucci in the Sky by my guest Anna Milosavljevic.
Thank you.
Well, Anna, it sounded like people really enjoyed that. You were listening to Luci in the Sky by my guest, Anna Milosavljevic, who was our violinist, and also there was pre-tape material that you combined with your violin solos, and you were playing your traditional violin as well as your Viper violin.
That's correct.
And
I wanted to just mention that this recording is from the live performance at the Tribeca New Music Festival that I had on May 18th. So this recording is live recording.
And new.
And very new.
In fact, May 18th, I can actually kind of remember that was a Friday.
It was a Friday night. That's correct. One of the busiest days in the history of new music scene in New York.
Yeah.
Apparently. And we heard a part of this my score. The whole score is 17 minutes.
Yeah, well, we will get to that at some point, no question about it. Anna, now let's talk about you as a violinist. You play traditional violin. You play the Viper electric violin. Do you perform traditional concerts anymore?
It's very interesting. I used to.
I guess that's the answer. That's
well,
a good
I'm trying to think like how did this evolution of my, going through different, not only classical repertoires, but contemporary music repertoires, actually. I used to perform more traditional concerts. It was years ago. Then I had a period when I was combining a classical repertoire with contemporary music repertoire.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of even like browse to different, using that for the lack of a better word, genres of contemporary music. And now I'm actually more and more, I guess, performing my own work. But I also still enjoy collaborating with other composers, and I often perform works written for me by other composers. Mm-hmm. And so, but in recent years, I would say I have done more of my own and other living composers' projects.
When you became interested in contemporary music, who were some of the people that really inspired you? I'm talking now at the beginning, in a little bit of an evolution. I mean, were you interested? Did you, what are your thoughts on that? What were some of the composers that really inspired you, contemporary music-wise?
I'm not sure if that was really like a clear cut like that. Oh, this was my favorite living composer. Now I'm going to be a contemporary musician. It was more like I got this opportunity to collaborate with actually a group of, while being a graduate student in New York City, mm-hmm. I got involved with, I got a grant to produce mm-hmm. a concert of music by a group called New York Women Composers.
Oh.
And that's how I got actually involved with women composers a lot.
It's also so, it's such a small world because I was just invited to be on their board.
Oh,
of
wonderful.
New York Women Composers. Oh. I know some of the people there. So it's
That's
quite
great.
Really kind of, in fact, I have a piano duo partner who is one of the board members.
Oh, that's great.
So it's really a very small
world. It's a small world. I know, especially in a contemporary music world. And so that's how I kind of started going that direction. And actually, I'd say that also one of the people who inspired me a lot on this road of being a contemporary musician is my former teacher and good friend, Muneko Tani. She is a first violinist of the Kassat String Quartet. Mm. She is one of the most humble, wonderful human beings and artists that I personally met, and being very fortunate to be around for years. And she and her group, they're big advocates of music by living composers. Mm-hmm. They have also a lot of commissions and so anyway, that was one of the also nice things.
Yeah.
I had.
So it sounds like you've really had it's almost been like an evolution for you.
Definitely. And you know, one thing that I really like about it is I don't like to kind of categorize things or make decision and get stuck. I like to just, you know, like I like this. One of my favorite quotes is nothing is permanent. So we just have to accept this living in the moment and accepting the change and flow. Yes. And trying to be a little bit more go with the flow, which I'm also learning. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very important. And I think if we can live life like that, we can be live a more joyful life, but also some wonderful things could happen. So that's the same thing is with the music, with my inspirations, whether it's my own creative work or collaborations or, you know.
Sounds good. You've got some improv stuff, improvisations you wanted to share with us. Tell us a little bit about it, Anna.
Yeah, well, as I said, like I in recent years also started improvising, and some of the fun improvisation moments, aside from doing it in my own work, I've done with the composer pianist Jed Ditzler. We would just get together and do this kind of various things. He's an amazing improviser, and actually we did some kind of blues style improvisation, many different things. But then also I last year I met the composer John King, actually, and he wrote a piece for me that I also premiered this year at the Tribeca New Music Festival. But in addition to that, you know, our music language is very different. But we realized that both John and I share a passion for, a common passion for improvisation and also for collaborative work. He also works with the dance and theater a lot. And so we kind of met, and then we kind of, he has this thing for interactive electronics. So he just turned it on, and we just started like improvising and just trying to see, throwing everything in a pot and see what comes out of it. So
jamming.
This is jamming, yeah, yes. In a very kind of funny, weird, and really like kind of exciting way. So it was very liberating. So that's what we're going to hear. This is like a short improvisation by me and John King.
Well, we're gonna hear this now. I hope you enjoy.
Yeah.
You were just listening to an improvisation by my guest, Anna Miroslavljevic, and John King. Well, Anna, welcome back. It's great to have you here, and we're going to just go right now to a composition before we wrap up, a composition of Eve Baglarian, who was a guest here a year ago also, along with a composer whom we played earlier, Alexander Vrebelov.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about, very briefly, what we're going to be listening to.
The piece is called I'm Worried Now, But I Won't Be Worried Long. It was originally written for Mary Rowell. And I really like this work, as a other composer's piece. And actually, this piece was also used in a choreography by Take Dance, Takehiro Yama and Take Dance, as a part of the full evening choreography Salary Man. It was used along with my work Zaidi Zaidi for the same choreography. And actually, I was a live performer on stage in this piece for the dance.
So we listen to this music now as performed by my guest Anna Miroslavljevic. We hear this is music of Eve Baglarian. Thank you. You were just listening to an excerpt from I'm Worried Now, But I Won't Be Worried Long by Eve Baglarian. The performance featured my guest, Anna Milostavljevich, who was our violinist. Well, Anna, before we kind of wrap down, briefly tell us what's coming up in the future for you.
Yeah, in a very immediate future, coming this August, I'm actually casted in a very interesting production that is based on a Hamlet called Act Before You Speak, The Tragic History of Hamlet, Prince of Denmark. But it's actually for two women and a violinist. Obviously, I'm the violinist. And I'm also composing the music for the prologue and epilogue of the play. Play runs for about 70 minutes, and there is no... It is played, acted without a word said. It is very interesting. And it is going to be playing at the Flea Theater, starring Alexandra Zelman-Doring, Marie Godot, and myself. It's directed by Hedvig Claesson. She's a Swedish director. Jeffrey Landman did set design. And the play opens at the Flea Theater in New York City, August 3rd. And the last it runs for 3 weeks. The last show is on August 26th. And another thing I'm doing is also a new commission for the Serbian chamber group called Kamerna Banda. I'm writing piece for their premiere for this coming fall. And probably more work with the theater, with the dance, actually. The company I mentioned a lot, Take Dance, is choreographer Take Hiroyama, who is also my partner. And we'll be working more in an immediate future.
Well, it sounds like you're going to have a very busy year coming up.
Yes. And there are some other projects that I... that are in works that I will not be able to announce right now, but very
guests.
Soon.
They always say that whenever
I'm. No, well,
I have
I'm not supposed
here.
To, but I will be happy fine. To announce them very soon.
That's fine. Well,
and of course, new okay. CD.
Oh well, that of
course, with the Viper music.
Yeah, that will be really very very exciting. Well, Anna, I would just before we quit, I would just like to sign off with another one of your works. I would just like to thank you so much for coming.
Thank you very much for having me. This was really a pleasure.
It was a tremendous amount of fun. And before we do sign off, I would just like to remind you that if you have any questions or would like to see the playlist for today's programs, you can go to my website. My website address is www.classicaldiscoveries.org. The detailed playlist for both programs today will be posted by this evening. Also, if you have any comments or questions or would like to just simply get in touch, feel free to email me directly at marvinrosen@classicaldiscoveries.org. Again, that's marvinrosen@classicaldiscoveries.org. And if you missed any of today's program or the interview and would like to listen, as you all know, my programs are archived and they can be listened for 2 weeks after the MP3 files are posted on my website. So you can do that where if you want to catch up on something you didn't hear. Again, my website address is www.classicaldiscoveries.org. Well, we began today's program with, I guess, Anna's piece de resistance, I guess her composition Red in a version for string quartet and Native American flutes. We're going to sign off with the string orchestra version, and this is quite incredible music. We hear the ensemble Metamorphosis in our performance. Anna, again, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.